You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 403, entitled Interview with Mason Tireman from Tireman Turf Care. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. And as well, like I say on all of these interview episodes, if you want to get in on one of these episodes and share your lawn care business journey, you can reach out to me. Head on over to my website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, go to the contact page, and you can send me a message there. Alternatively, if you follow me on Instagram, send me a DM message, or if you just look at the podcast show notes in your podcast player, there should be a little link there for sending me a voicemail message, and you can do that as well. Spring is here. I've been going full at it here, at least on the West Coast. I know a lot of you guys are just sort of starting or thinking about starting. Some places are still having a little bit of snow and stuff, but here on the West Coast, I've been going at it full on. I've had at least two cuts now, two mowings done on all of my regular clients. So it's been very, very busy. And I guess this means I should maybe change the introduction of the podcast from the winter interview series maybe to a spring interview series or something, if I'm going to keep doing interview episodes. But they're just so much fun to do. So without further ado, I want to welcome Mason Tireman to the show. Hey, Mason, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Did I get your name pronunciation right there?
Yep, Tireman.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's normally something I would double check with you before we started, but I completely forgot, and then I hit record, and I was like, oops, hopefully, I think I got it right.
Yeah, a lot of people say Tireman.
Oh, okay.
Nope, you're right.
Awesome. So let's dive right into the question. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so I'm actually only 17 years old.
Wow.
So I'm a high schooler running this business. I started mowing lawns when I was in seventh grade, and I started knocking on some doors. The reason I started doing lawn care actually was because I wanted to buy myself a new phone.
Okay.
And yep, my parents were like, if you want this phone, you need to start making some money somehow. And I was only 13, so mm-hmm. I was too young to actually get an employed job.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll take this new Honda push mower that my dad got and start mowing lawns with it. So that's what I did. I started knocking on some doors just down the street. And my seventh grade year, I had about four lawns. And then just from there, it started to grow. And in the beginning, I didn't actually enjoy it that much, but I started to develop a passion for it and acquire more customers as the years went on. So yeah, that's kind of how I started now.
Very cool. That's awesome. So at 17, so I'm guessing that puts you around grade 11. Is that correct?
Yep, I'm a junior this year, correct.
Awesome. So, yeah, very, very interesting. I haven't, I can't say that I haven't interviewed somebody that young. I think there was one about your age from Australia.
Okay.
Although I can't remember for sure. But yeah, always interesting to see somebody with such an entrepreneurial spirit so early on. I should get you to talk to my son.
Yeah.
He's not quite as motivated.
Yeah, no, it's something I enjoy, and I'm a really independent person. Mm-hmm. And so that it was just kind of, it came natural to me, all the financial stuff I actually enjoy doing. And I like to talk to new people, meet new people. It's the whole entrepreneurial side is something I enjoy.
Awesome. Awesome. So kind of a funny question to ask because you're still in high school as well, but is sure. Lawn care your main income or do you have like another, like a part-time job or something that you're doing on top of that?
Yeah. So lawn care is my only job. I have actually never been, have an employed job before since I started so young. So
wow.
This has been my, yep, it's only, this is my mainstream of income that I've had in high school so far.
Wow, that's pretty amazing to hear. On one hand, I'm kind of sad for you that you won't have those stories of like slinging burgers that the rest of us the rest of us have, but at the same time you're not missing much, so
yeah, I guess, you know, like the coworker experience, that kind of thing.
Or just some funny, I remember just kind of off topic, one of my first jobs, I was working at a local Dairy Queen and I had to run the grill, and I was probably your age when I was doing about 16-17, and some customer came in and they ordered two of their triple burgers, like the triple patty burgers. And I was just like so overwhelmed with like the steps and stuff. I just started, and I remember making these burgers, then went out, and they literally came back like 5 minutes later, and they were like the old, you're probably too young to know the reference from the old Burger King commercials in the 80s, but they're like, where's the beef? Like, I forgot all three patties in each of the burgers.
Oh my God.
So it was, it was pretty funny. So
yeah, I definitely don't, I have not experienced, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah No, but that's it's pretty awesome that you're you know, getting into that entrepreneurial side at such a young age. It reminds me of Corey Ballard from Ballard Inc. With his Perfect Cut and all that sort of stuff, right? He started his basically, you know, Perfect Cut lawn care empire there, and then now Ballard, when he was in school and had employees, actually adults, working the business for him while he would be at school, which makes me kind of think, is that something that you've thought about? Are you thinking about sort of just keeping it as a solo operation, or have you thought about employees yet at this point?
Yeah, so actually the last season I had two employees.
Oh, awesome.
And yep, so I've grown to, you know, definitely not an empire, but I do, you know, with the workload and when school starts, it's definitely something that's hard to manage by myself. So I had employees over the summer to help me manage it, and that, you know, made time for me to be able to take some family vacations and without having, you know, the headache of having to contact customers about, hey, I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're kind of on your own for this week, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
that
yeah.
helped out a lot.
That's awesome. So were they just, schoolmates of yours that you got to fill in, like friends and stuff?
Yeah. So I had two of my really good friends, start out with me, and then I hired a kid who just came new to the community, and
okay.
so I wanted to get him before, you know, he got another job and it was hard to find somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So what initially, because like, okay, so you know, going back to when you're 13 and you wanted to get that phone and stuff like that, what was it about lawn care that got, because it was a lawn, you know, it's quite a bit of work. So what, you know, there was some other, I'm sure some other options you could have done. I know I started, you couldn't be, you know, as you said, employed in certain instances, but even like myself, I've been working since I was 11 years old, with just like paper routes and things like that. So what was it about the lawn care? Was it just the like easy access to just go out and do it? Or did you generally already like doing lawn care?
That's what I was going to say, is I felt that it was just really an easily accessible industry for a young person to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And, my dad bought a like I mentioned earlier, a new Honda push mower. So yeah. I started mowing. He was starting to have us mow the lawn, my brother and I.
Okay,
he's just a year younger than myself. So we would, you know, he made us start mowing the lawn. And then with, you know, wanting to be able to buy my new phone, it was just kind of, it happened naturally, right?
Okay.
It's just like, oh, maybe I'll start mowing lawns. And then it did go from there.
So how does, you mentioned your brother there. So how does your brother sort of feel about you doing the lawn care? Does he help out at all, or is he completely not interested, or?
Yeah, well, he started mowing lawns when I started mowing lawns in seventh grade.
Okay.
And he didn't really like it, so that's not something that he wanted to do.
Okay.
Then, so he actually started out, but it's not something that he really likes to. But he has talked about maybe branching out and starting in a new retirement turf care and new community.
Oh, okay.
A new rural community. Yeah, so that's a possibility, but we'll see. That may or may not happen, but it was a talk.
Yeah. So how do you, being, you know, still grade 11, in school there, so how do you run your business? Are you mowing after school? Are you doing weekends? Sort of, how does it work and where? Maybe tell us a bit about how you're actually getting around. Do you have a driver's license? Are you using the family car, or how's that working?
Yeah, so the rundown of how I run my business is when the summer starts and we don't have school, I work 5 days a week. Sometimes I'll have a day off or two, you know, that was helpful with the employees. But then when the school starts, I usually push most of my yards onto the weekends.
Okay.
And some of the yards I have that don't take a lot of time or kind of they're really route dense and I can get, you know, a lot of yards done in a short amount of time.
Yep.
I'll do those after school.
Okay.
But I also do cross country.
Okay.
So in the fall, that's something that I do. I took this year off just cause I didn't know how to plan for the lawn care season and how to do it. Since we grew so much, I was like, I'm just not going to do cross country and focus on mowing after school. But I found that I could probably do cross country and mow as well, because I didn't put, you know, an astronomical amount of yards after school. So
okay.
It's doable.
Yeah. So, with the lawn care, so how are you driving like to these places, or are like in your immediate neighborhood that you live in? How's that work?
Yep. So I have my driver's license, and so I have, my parents actually got me a Chevy pickup for my birthday last year, my 17th birthday.
Oh, nice.
And so that was really helpful to have a pickup. But then my dad's also a farmer, so he has several kind of older pickups that he uses on the farm. So during the summer, I use this, I don't know, is it an 80s or maybe a 1970s blue Dodge Ram?
Oh, okay.
It's an old one. Ab, and so that's kind of a second vehicle that I can use.
Okay, nice. So are the, like, how big of a distance do you guys live? You said your dad's a farmer, so is it are you guys like in rural area, or
yeah,
is it
so
more?
We live in a really rural area, so my town only has 2,000 residents.
Oh, okay.
And then we go to a kind of a neighboring village that has maybe about 800 residents. And then we also this year are going to another town that's about 40 miles away.
Oh, okay.
And they have about the same size of community as we do.
Oh, okay. So what size in these other villages and stuff that you're thinking about targeting, what size properties what's your property sizes that you're doing?
Yeah, we do a lot of different ranges. For instance, in Imperial, where I live, and that's kind of the base community, I have a couple just big open lots that are a little over an acre.
Okay.
And so there's an example of that, but then we also have a couple like 1,500 square foot properties or 1,000 square foot properties that we do as well. And typically we'll push mow those if it's a small gate or just a small yard. So it really ranges.
Oh, okay.
We do a lot of.
So you got a good mix.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like kind of like where I am in. I'm in a suburb of like a main city, and in the main city, it's all very tiny properties.
Yeah.
But being in the suburb, there's a lot of tiny properties, but there's also a lot of like still hobby farms and things like that, and then like actual real farms around and stuff. So there's quite a range of property sizes as well. You could pretty much do all of them or pick you know, a niche and just do small ones or just do large ones or whatever. You kind of wanted. So this next question, this will be kind of interesting to ask you, because it's one of my favorite questions. And the reason it is because every time I ask somebody who is an entrepreneur, I always get a different answer. But every time I ask somebody who has you know, a part-time job or shift work or an employee or something like that, the answer is typically the same. So with your kind of experience of doing lawn care and always being kind of an entrepreneur, it'd be interesting, and being such a young age, it'd be interesting to see what your answer is here. So how would you, Mason, define success?
Yeah, man, that's a difficult question to think about. I think I would have two definitions for success.
Okay.
I think the first one would be flexibility. Mm-hmm. And when you, I think in terms of business, if you have flexibility within what you do, that for me is successful, because you're able to kind of shift your schedule, the work schedule, and based on your needs or what's going on in your life, that's a big indicator of success for me, because I'm such an independent person and I like to involve myself in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So having flexibility is a big aspect of success for me.
Okay.
But then in addition, I think that happiness as well is a big factor of success. Is if you can go out every day and do what you do and get happiness from it, that even, you know, with the struggles that you might have from day to day, you know, the mower doesn't go right, you have an employee that's kind of, you know, you have to adjust to that, or a customer is mad or dissatisfied, you know, those are injustices that happen on a day to day. But in the long term, if what you do brings you happiness, that's success to me.
Okay. Yeah, very, very cool. And it's something that I've heard repeated, you know, lots of times in the past as well. We've all heard stories of somebody who is kind of maybe felt pressured by family or something to go a certain route or go, you know, become a doctor or something like that. Or, and then they're just not happy with it, right? And then they end up, you know, doing something completely different for maybe a lot less money, but then they're super happy doing it, right? So yeah, very very interesting. Hits that kind of hits home with me as well. Just being kind of that freedom and those, and not really being motivated. Of course, we all need money. You got to pay the bills and stuff like that. And and there's a balance and stuff. But you know, being able to do things on your own terms is one of those really important things for me. So. With you talked about sort of the size of the properties and stuff that you're maintaining. What type of equipment are you using, like in terms of like mower sizes and stuff like that?
Yeah, so the equipment that I use is, I have two riding mowers, and those are Hustler XD, the Raptor series.
Okay,
and I use a 52-inch deck, which is sometimes kind of big in terms of like what a lot of lawn care companies might use. You know, some people get about, you know, getting into gates or anything like that. But in our area, it's best to bag the debris. So I have a bag kit on as well. And the hose that actually is on the Raptor series is really big, and it just like extends out. So the mower itself ends up being about 72 inches. So the whole backyard and gate thing wasn't, I knew going into buying the mower was going to be like it wasn't going to be accessible for me anyways. Mm-hmm. So in addition to my ride mowers, I have a Honda push mower that I've been using since the beginning. And, you know, that's been a great machine for me. It's the 19 inch one.
Yeah.
So 21 inch, excuse me. And so those are my main things that I use, my equipment. And then on top of that, we have steel trimmers. And that we use the combi system. So you can take out, you have the base motor,
yeah,
and then you can take out the actual equipment that you're actually using. So
yeah,
I can replace that with a trimmer, with an edger, a blower.
Yeah.
And so that's been actually really handy for me, and without having to carry so many different equipment, like just smaller equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's easier to travel around with and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I used the steel combi system for probably 10 years with just like the trimmer and edger and stuff. They work fantastically.
Yep. And we started aeration. We're doing aeration this season. It's my first season doing it. And I just bought a Ryan Turf aerator.
Oh, nice. That's a big purchase to get into.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it. But I'm excited.
Super lucrative, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. I look at aeration as kind of, you know, not everybody wants their lawn mowed, but a lot of people need their lawn, you know, the health aspect of it taken care of.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was really excited to offer aeration this season, so that I can help bring that to the community.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things. I'm going to be starting my aerations probably next week. It's something I've been doing for at least 16 or 17 years that I've been in business. This is my 18th season. I think it was just the first year that I was in business that I didn't have an aerator, and then I bought a used one and have been using a Bluebird 424 ever since. Yep. And here, fortunately, because we have so much rain on the Pacific Northwest area, I'm able to sell aerations twice a year. So all my clients get aerating twice a year, in the spring and then again in the fall. Just because of that soil compaction from all the rain and stuff. It's very, very lucrative to go out and do some aerating and stuff. I think you're a great investment to put in, right?
Yeah.
And it's easy to sell. Like, a lot of people may not understand it. And a couple of things that is interesting, like I always say, you know, it's probably the most beneficial thing you can do for your lawn. The cool thing about that is that it's 100% backed up. Like, you can say to a client, like, go look for yourself, check online, right? And that's what they're going to find.
I was doing research, you know, just like understanding the aeration process, understanding the benefits. I mean, it's just, there is nothing bad about aeration that I found online.
And then the other selling point that I do, which actually is kind of interesting as well, is that I'll tell the clients that if you just want me to come and aerate your lawn once, then don't waste your money. It's not worth it. You're not going to get the benefit, because aeration is something that it takes, you know, repetitive, you know, doing it a bunch of times over the course of a few years before you're going to see those results. It's not like, you know, putting fertilizer down and you see it, right? And it's, again, something that, you know, they can research on their own and look online and see that, yes, you need to aerate regularly to have any sort of benefit, right? So it turns those clients into, like, once every 3 years of aerating, or, you know, when they think about it, to now I'm the one that just takes care of it. Like, I just show up and do it every year for them, right? And it's like, so it's, something that you can get sort of into the habit of educating your clients about, and then it just becomes second nature that this is just part of the package. This is part of what happens every season, is he just comes along and he aerates and does it and stuff, right? So I think you're gonna be able to pay off that aerator pretty quickly, so you're young, so that's good, because I can't I know now in my late 40s that I think back to the amount of lawns I used to be able to aerate in a day, and I'm like, man, I can't do like half of what I used to do. So, and I got my start in my 30s. Or late, yeah. So it you're half that age, so you should be. You should be able to knock them out.
Yeah, I know. I got the Ryan aerator, and it's a heavy machine. I was like, man, this is going to take some getting used to. But yeah, no, I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't. I've never tried the Ryan, but I've heard a lot of good things about them, especially like the turning with them is a bit, I've heard is a bit easier than the Bluebirds, but I haven't tried it on myself to see. Yeah, it's fun. Good luck. You're gonna be sore. It's a lot to get into, but you're young, so it should be good. Yes, so that's awesome. So do you offer any other services that are not lawn care or landscaping related, like maybe like power washing or window cleaning or anything like that?
We don't. Nope, we just do the lawn care service aspect of it. Yep.
Oh, okay. Are you planning on, when you say lawn care, is it just strictly lawn cutting or are you putting down fertilizers or anything like that?
So we offer the services we offer. We don't do fertilization because you actually have to have a license to fertilize. Yep. You have to be 18 for that.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't offer that. And on top of that, I work with a really good lawn care company here that does fertilization. So mm-hmm. I always refer my customers to them, and we have a good relationship with that.
Okay.
So we offer mowing, overseeding with the aeration usually, and we do edging, hedge trimming, and if we have a customer that wants some mulch grass, like if we have extra grass on the trailer, or yeah. then we can deliver that to them.
Oh, okay.
Well, for just a slight delivery fee.
Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome. So do you, with your clients that you have, are they all residential clients, or do you have any commercial clients or anything like that?
Yeah, most of them are residential, but I have a few commercial clients. So those lots we talked about,
yep.
I consider those a commercial client, but they're just they're just big residential properties. But there's no houses built on them, so basically a commercial property with just a big open space. But then in addition, we mow a local church here.
Okay,
so that's a big property for us that we do as well.
Oh, okay. So what are your thoughts on those types, like mowing a church, for instance, versus mowing, you know, somebody's private residence? Do you have a preference versus residential versus commercial?
I think I like them both equally, but there are some times when I favor one or the other. Sometimes I favor commercial because it's just kind of, there's less monitoring, I guess you could say, and mm-hmm. They're usually way bigger, so then, you know, it's kind of just a wide open space. You can kind of get in the zone and then mm-hmm. just mow it and that kind of thing. But then residential also is kind of fun because the grass is usually better.
Mm-hmm. yeah
and so I like them both equally.
Okay, very cool. So this next question is probably the one that gives people the most pause for thought, where they got to kind of, you know, take a moment and think about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you the question, but then I'll go into our podcast's sponsored ad to give you a moment to think about it. And then when we get back, we'll get your answer. So the question for you after the break will be, share a time that you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it. So we'll get your answer right after this. So stay tuned.
In lawn care today, with the right equipment, you can do jobs quickly and correctly. Hi, Jonathan Guineri here. As a product manager at Z Turf Equipment, I'm focused on innovations that help you get jobs done faster without sacrificing the quality your customers expect. From our acclaimed Z Spray spreader sprayers to our Z Aerate line and beyond, you can do more in less time. Visit zturfequipment.com today to learn more about our innovative line of products.
Okay, Mason. So tell us about a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
Yeah, so I think the biggest struggle that I have had so far is when I hired my employees for the first time last season.
Mm-hmm.
I recall one particular day where I got a call from three separate customers, and I had been gone that day, and I had one of my employees working, and I got a call that a sprinkler was busted out.
Okay.
An entire lawn had been skipped in the schedule. And then also I just got a call from a customer that they noticed that one of my employees was just going really fast on the lawn and the cut wasn't satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
And so sure enough, I go to each property and they were correct. And, you know, I had to then figure out how I was going to address this.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest thing is how do I motivate my employees? How do I create an environment where they're motivated to work? And then the whole work environment is just something that, you know, they show up for work for and they're kind of excited to do it. But also is a good work ethic that, you know, you don't go too fast. You're cautious of sprinklers mm-hmm. and you're diligent about looking at what's on the schedule, make sure that every lawn gets done.
Yeah.
And so I think as a young person, that was a new area for me. How, you know, I'm the same age as these people. So how do I allow my authority to carry weight?
You know,
it's different to have a 30-year-old employer telling a high schooler what to do. There's more authoritative figure there.
Yeah.
So I had to just figure out the best techniques that I was going to do. And I found that positive reinforcement is a great way to do that. In terms of, you know, congratulating, I guess you could say the good work that mm-hmm. employees do that kind of adds a motivator. But in my last year season, I had to really get used to that. And that was just a kind of a big struggle throughout the whole season. But I think I've worked through some of it. Have progressed.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great to have points there and kind of that learning process. I think a lot of times too, I've told this story a couple of times or a couple of examples a couple of times of just, I think sometimes, you know, if you're a self-starter, you know, self-employed, and even, you know, as you get older in age, you know, with more experience, you start to take for granted or forget that people younger or who maybe aren't self-starters like you in your example or in your situation, maybe don't, you know, common sense isn't always common. It's kind of like, I'll give a couple examples. Like I had my nephew once help me and he was about your age when he came out to help me. And we were doing some lawn rentals and I had him, we were using a lawn roller and rolling and stuff. And at the end of the day, I said, hey, can you drain out the lawn roller, and stuff, right? So I assumed, and it was, you know, obviously, you know what they say about assuming, that was pretty standard, right? So on the lawn roller, it's a rubber plug with a screw and a wing nut, right? So he pulled he loosened the wing nut and, you know, I wasn't thinking to explain like the process, not thinking that he's never done that before. So he loosened the wing nut completely out and then the rubber plug fell into the lawn roller instead of just loosening it enough to pull the plug out with it. Right. And immediately I saw the mistake as, oh, that was my mistake that, you know, he didn't get because he just doesn't have the experience. And same with my son, when he would come and help me mow, he would do areas and he would miss spots. And you know, we'd meet up at the truck after to load up equipment and I'd go check his work. And I'd be like, dude, you like left all this grass? Like you didn't cut this spot. You didn't. And it was just, it was just him, the experience, right? So when you have your friends helping you and stuff like that, it's that same situation where maybe they don't have the experience. And it wasn't having to get mad at my son or anything. It was just pointing it out and going like, I know it doesn't seem like a big deal that you missed the spot here and there, but those are the things that will get me fired. Like, I'll lose this customer over that. And then he was like, oh, then it kind of like a light bulb went off that, oh yeah, like, you know, and then after that, he was like, perfect, right? It was like, oh, he's never missing anything. Because he knew the gravity of this. Like, it's not just, oh, you missed the spot. It's, well, if you missed the spot, why is that customer going to keep hiring you when they can just, you know, hire a different company that's not going to miss those spots and exactly. sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting that you, like you're saying, kind of a challenge being the same age as those employees and not having that automatic authority because you're older, and it can be, I guess, kind of sensitive if they're, your buddies at school and then, you know, the next minute you're their boss.
Yeah, and that's another aspect of the struggle that, you know, I think going into this season, I want to do a better job of
is,
you know, how do I separate myself from my good friends and how do, you know, like you said, go from boss to buddy, right after that. And that's something like I have to get more comfortable with doing that if I'm going to have kind of a youth-based operation.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say at this point in your business journey is your favorite thing about being self-employed?
Yeah. My favorite thing about being self-employed is the freedom. Like we talked about in success. That's my biggest thing that I like about, especially being in high school, is that I can tailor what I'm doing on a day-to-day based on how my school schedule's going, based on what extracurriculars I have going on. That's a really flexible area for me. And of course, you know, if I have lawn scheduled, it's hard to, I don't want to be like, hey, I have this going on, so I'm going to push, you know, keep fluctuating your day that I take care of the lawn. I usually don't do that, but in general terms, I can plan out in advance just what's going on that day.
And
it's been really difficult for me in high school without having to commit to a work schedule and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So a lot, like every, I'm sure you've heard when you listen to the podcast, when I open up the introduction and I always say, to all the people listening, for thanking them for the comments and the questions and stuff that they send in each and every week. And a lot of those comments and questions that I get from people are younger entrepreneurs like yourself that in high school and stuff and thinking about starting a lawn care business and looking for my advice and stuff. And it's always there's stuff I can share, but I've been in business 18 years and a lot has changed, so I'm excited talking to you being fresh into it and being in that same kind of generation. What would you say, like, how do you market your business as a young person, a young entrepreneur still in school, maybe share some marketing tips for those like your age that are thinking about getting into lawn care?
Yeah, that's the marketing aspect is actually, I'd have to say, one of my favorite aspects. That's actually what I want to do with my future is go to school for marketing. So our main marketing strategies, you could say, is each season we put out flyers in the local businesses. And the most effective one, I think, is our local grocery store. And so we put up, business flyers, new lawn care season, here are the services we offer, give us a call for a free estimate. And there's so many traction, with people going into the grocery stores. So, and even just local small businesses. So that's one thing we do. And then this season that I started doing is I actually got and designed door hangers. And I ordered those off of Vistaprint.
Nice.
And yeah, so I ordered like 1,500 door hangers and I've just been putting them all over, as many doors as I can get to. And, even with just the season beginning, I've had a lot of calls for aeration and getting some mowing scheduled earlier than I ever have because I've been putting out these door hangers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a really, really effective strategy for me. But then also there's, the social media aspect with Facebook pages and Instagram pages and specifically Facebook.
Okay.
You know, I always try to put out a lot of promotional content and get that target audience. So I have a lot of engagement within our local community on my Facebook page, which has been great for us.
Yeah, I think an advantage that you have at your age that a lot of us didn't is that you grew up with this thing called the internet.
Yeah.
And social media. Yeah. And there's a lot of established businesses that have been around for a long time that just aren't comfortable using social media and being on camera and all that sort of stuff. And your generation is like, has, you know, basically grown up with a phone in their hand, like you said, you know, starting at 13, wanting to get your first phone and stuff. And that can be a massive advantage going forward, being able, because it's huge, the marketing that you can, you know, the amount of people that you can reach being, you know, if you're comfortable. And especially like, if you can take it from just, you know, doing posts and things like that to actually, you know, putting yourself on camera in those little, you know, little video clips or things like that on Facebook and things like that, that's huge for getting people that whole, you know like, and trust with your clients.
Yeah, and I actually just put out, it was my first time doing something like this, and I had my mom record me. I was standing by the mower. I pulled it out for the first time this season, and I recorded kind of a promotional video, like, now's the time to call us. Here's the services we offer. And yeah, so that was kind of fun, and being able to put myself on camera with that, you know, like you said, that personal aspect, I think really grabbed some attention. And then also, it was my first time, I actually spent a little money to boost the post.
Oh, okay.
And so I got a lot of fan on social media with that.
So how did you find that effective to do?
I did. I really did. So I think I spent $50, and then over the course of, it was five days. So over the course of 5 days, it reached, I think I had a total post engagement of about 5,000 people at least.
Oh, wow.
Saw it.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of engagement, and I knew it worked. I was kind of skeptical, like, you know, is Facebook really, does this really work? You reach amount of people, but I had people that I knew in my area, in my community, that actually started following the page because of the engagement. So
It
clearly did push it out into a broader audience.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's, sort of the proof is in the pudding there, right? When you think, because you can get a lot done, with, you know, just posting in like community groups and things like that on Facebook, and general sort of marketing and stuff. But there's a reason why, you know, you'll get those notifications every time you put out a Instagram post or something like that saying, you know, boost this post, you know, sort of thing. Right. And, those companies are there to make money as well. So it's only natural to think that, if you do dip into the pot a little bit, into the wallet, and, pay for some promotion, that they're going to make sure that those, ads or videos or whatever you're doing are getting seen by more of the people that you want to see them, versus just kind of throwing them out there and letting the algorithm kind of pick and choose who gets to see it.
So
very cool. Any other sort of besides the door hangers and stuff? And I think that's a great idea. I used to, when I first started, I was doing just postcards door to door. To get to, and I always found them very effective. Luckily lawn care is one of those things that, you know, one of the things that really attracted me to lawn care, because I've always been entrepreneurial. I've had and started a ton of different businesses. The one thing that I love about lawn care was the reoccurring, basically, that, you know, if you get a client and they're a good client, you can have that client for years and years. So, definitely. You know, you can get to a point, especially if you want to stay a solo operation or a smaller, you know, with just a few employees, where you basically stop looking for clients at a certain point, because you're always full, right? So you're, talking about ordering 1500 door hangers and all that stuff. Literally behind me, I have boxes of postcards that are probably 15 years old because I stopped putting them out because I'm, you know, usually I just don't have any need to go and do it anymore. And they're ones that I never got around to putting out. I had ordered way too many and got full that year and then just never needed to go out and do it again. So any other tips on other sort of strategies or things that you're thinking about trying?
No, I think the door hangers were kind of my new strategy that I wanted to try out. And they've been really successful just, you know, having that kind of tactile element that people can have in their hands and review. Like if you put a backstory on a postcard or the door hanger and kind of just let people know how you started and who you are, that kind of builds a relationship with them not even meeting you yet.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it kind of build that personal connection if you tell a story of your business. And so that's what I did. And then, you know, if you do something like that, just make sure to put your services on there. And then I did a little description of the services, just so hopefully some people, you know, who didn't know what edging was. You know, a lot of times edging can get confused with trimming, whereas edging is, you know, actually taking a chunk out of the yard that might be growing over the sidewalk.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Making it, you know, really crisp. And I've had a lot of confusion with that, so I put a description under the, you know, we offer edging, and to let people know what that actually was. And I think, you know, that can help so that there isn't confusion based on what these lawn care services are.
That's a great point. So one of the most common questions that I get asked about my business when people meet me for the first time, or I see a client for their, you know, meeting them for the first time, or even just, you know, friends or things, if you're at a barbecue or something, you meet somebody, they're always asking me, so when they find out I'm a landscaper or lawn care, they say, well, what do you do in the wintertime? So with your business, are you doing anything else in the winter to generate income, or are you just focusing on your studies and school and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we don't do any winter services. You know, I've gotten those questions as well. You know, do you do the snow removal? Do you do that kind of thing? We don't, actually. My time and turf care kind of goes dormant in the winter. And I think I like that, actually, because that kind of gives me a break after having a really busy summer and then also a really busy fall quarter, you know, or a semester of school. It's kind of a nice break for me as a student to be able to kind of chill out. But then also during the winter, I have set up a business development for myself. So I kind of break my business down into categories and figure out how I can improve and what are my strategies going to be for next season, or kind of review and then improve for the next season.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm a full-time, you know, lawn care guy. Been in business 18 years, and I shut down my business too in the winter. I did winter stuff for the first couple of years, and then I decided it just wasn't for me. And I completely shut down and just take the winter off until usually from December, January, February, and then part of, you know, mid-March is when I basically start back up again. So, yeah, it's it can be a nice nice break. And I get you there. So what would you say are your future plans or goals for your business? You talked about wanting to go into marketing and stuff like that. So do you see, is lawn care sort of the end game for you? Or are you, is it just something that you're doing now until sort of like a future job or something like that?
Yeah. The last point you made is actually my plan, you know, until I want to keep it, you know, when I go to college after my senior year, I want to keep my business going for as long as I can through college. Mm-hmm. You know, come back to my hometown during the summer and, you know, run that business and have that going for me. But if I, through college, if I get an internship opportunity for the summer, or that I think will be like greatly value me for my future, mm-hmm. I might take that and consider passing off the business or selling it. Cause I don't think that lawn care for me is my end game, but it is something that I want to have. Like I want to establish my business for a long time till I have a new opportunity that comes my way in college or after college, or maybe even before, just kind of play it by if I have an opportunity.
Yeah, you never know. When I got into lawn care, I think we have told this obviously a bunch of times, is I got in by purchasing a franchise initially. Franchisor, the guy that started the franchise, he was in your situation, mowing lawns and stuff through school and things like that. And then, he continued and found it as a way to pay for his college and all that sort of stuff. And he continued to mow lawns all the way through. I think he got his, PhD and stuff. And once he finally finished, he realized that he was making so much money mowing lawns that he didn't even pursue what he had gone to school for so many years to do, ended up turning his little single solo operator lawn care business into a franchise system that is now, I believe, in 5 countries, has over 2,500 franchisees, and they have franchising in not just lawn care, but like I think it's like 30 different other divisions as well, like concrete and dog washing and sprinkler systems, and each one is a separate franchise division. It's pretty crazy. So don't shut the door on lawn care. You never know.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
You never know.
I know. And that's kind of the thing is, like, you know, even in, I talk about opportunity away from lawn care, but if there's an opportunity within my business or within the industry, I might take that as well. It's just kind of, you know, no one knows how the future will go. So I'm just kind of waiting out and to see what happens, but I plan to continue it long as I see fit.
I'm curious, when you were 13, what was the phone that you were looking to buy?
Yeah, I wanted to purchase a new iPhone 11.
Oh, okay.
Is the phone that I wanted to buy.
Awesome.
I was kind of hyped up with the no home button. And
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So, I asked that because it's funny, because for you, it was an iPhone. And the other example that I gave in the beginning of Corey Ballard, has Perfect Cut in, I think it's 2 states, and they've got like thousands of customers. And then he has now obviously Ballard Equipment, where they make all the accessories and all that sort of stuff. He started doing lawn care when he was in school, like I was saying before, and hiring actually adults. He would go in the morning, get them on their route started. He would go to school, and then after school, he would then meet up with them and then mow lawns with them. So you had this kid with, you know, with adult employees working the business while he's at school. And he started because he was trying to save money to buy a scooter. To ride around. He loves motorcycles and scooters, so like a two-cycle scooter type thing, right? So it's kind of funny how, again, something that, you know, he's doing just to raise money has now turned in adult years into this like huge enterprise. I think again, don't shut the door on lawn care fully.
Definitely.
There's lots
of, I know, and I think there's so much opportunity to grow in lawn care just with my, you know, following a lot of social media pages or, you know, listening to your podcast and hearing different stories about how people grew. And a lot of the times they grow from something small into, you know, something big. You get a huge customer base.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like I started with 24 customers. I wanted to buy a phone, and now it's grown into something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, is there like a weirdest thing or maybe a fun story that you could share that's happened to you during your business? Any weird experiences that stand out?
I don't know if I have any weird experiences or any like funny experiences, but I think it's kind of more of a motivational story that I have when I'm starting out. So I have this customer that I knocked, she actually lives down the street from me, and I knocked on her door when I was just starting, and I was like, I didn't really have a pricing structure or how I was going to go about measuring the lawn or that kind of thing. So when I was first starting, I would just kind of look at the lawn and be like, oh, you know, maybe this lawn's $20, $25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I knocked on her door. I said she might have been interested, and so I took a look at her door, her lawn, and I knocked on the door again, and I said, "This is like a $25 lawn, so how does that sound?" And she looked at me, and she was like, "No." That's what she said. She said, "No." And I just kind of puzzled for a second. She said, "How about $50?
Oh.
And she, so that was kind of a moment for me where I realized just how not only lucrative, but also just, like, the worth of lawn care and also the worth of a property.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I just wanted to go and try and get this new phone. And
yeah, yeah.
For instance, her lawn now is a $65 lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just kind of a moment for me realizing just the value of and how to price structure the business aspect mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great lesson and something to be very thankful for, that you, a client like that, didn't look at you and take advantage of you.
I know. Who knows where that would be today?
Yeah, yeah. Because there's so many people out there that would.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you were to start your lawn care business all over again, what is one thing that you would do differently?
Absolutely. I think the first thing I would do is make sure that I have the pricing in line.
Okay.
You know, that was kind of when I first started, like I told you, I was just kind of looking at a lawn and then kind of developing a price with it.
Yeah.
And that's where I have now, but it's taken me maybe 3 years to really get a solid price structure down.
Yeah.
And I think there's you have to have confidence with your own pricing, and that's not something I had. And even a lot of businesses, no matter what industry it is, kind of have a rocky start with pricing at first. And that's something that I would make sure I want to have set, and making sure that I have competitive pricing and everything that kind of goes into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's something for people listening, maybe younger generation that thinking about starting, is not to worry too much about it. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to learn. You know, myself, when I was thinking about lawn care before I pulled the trigger on that franchise system, I would just take my homeowner 21-inch like MTD push mower and my $99 weed eater brand curved shaft weed eater and a broom, and I was a lawn care business. And
yeah,
I would put flyers on telephone poles saying lawn mowing $15 and up, right? It was like, yeah. I had no clue what I was doing. But it gave me experience, right? I'd go out and do it, and then I quickly learned, okay, yeah, this is too much work for $15 to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. You got to go through it. You got to learn it, and educate yourself keep learning, keep educating yourself, and you learn from every job going on to the next one and stuff. So, that's awesome. So what would you say?
I was just saying how another point, just like not beating up myself about having, failures or not taking that into like my own, it's just experience throughout the whole thing.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the way life is. It's you're not gonna get away from not failing. Right from the day you were born. When you got around, I can't remember the exact age, trying to think back when my kids were little, but I think it's around the 1 year mark when you start to learn to walk. You didn't immediately go from crawling and get up and start walking around. You fell down a whole bunch of times until you figured out how to walk. It's going to repeat that lesson for the rest of your life. And I heard, somebody saying something about, they weren't afraid of failing because it just got them closer to succeeding. Because for every success you have, there's going to be probably, 10 to 100 failures before that. So the quicker you can fail, the faster you're getting to that one success that you want to get to. So don't worry about the failures. Just learn from them. Don't repeat them and keep moving forward.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree with
you. So, what would you say is your biggest frustration about running your lawn care business?
Um, The biggest frustration maybe is just, I guess there's no like one specific thing, and it's kind of the biggest thing that I get frustrated about is kind of an accumulation of just, I guess, a lot of bad things happening in one day.
Okay,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
If the mower tire gets flat or something breaks or there's not a lot of, like, and it's a busy day and you have to go take time to fix it. And so I get a lot of, and you know, I'm a really, like, structured scheduling that I'm really, like, planned. I'm
yep.
a really planned person. So when things start to go awry, I just kind of get a lot of anxiety with it, or just kind of have to, I get in my own head and then start to just kind of freak out about, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that on the day? You know, this day's so busy. And sometimes I see that a lot, you know, with on the day to day. It's just like, I need to get better at planning for the unexpected. But so I guess that's the really only bad thing, I guess you could say, on a day-to-day, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, yeah. So what is something that you would say that people don't realize about running a lawn care business?
I think people don't realize the amount of work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can say, like, what it's hard to tell people almost that you do lawn care, because it's almost in people's heads that it's kind of a lesser perception of, you know, I'm a CEO of this company compared to, like, I mow lawns,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, but a lot of people don't realize how lucrative it can be, but
yep.
also how much work goes into it, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have to, it's so detail oriented that you have to make sure you're looking at somebody else's property in a way that people walking on the street wouldn't. So there's just so much detail that goes into it. But then in general, you know, you have to run a business. If it's your own, you have to run the business like you would any other business.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of work that goes into it that a lot of people don't realize when you say, you know, I mow lawns.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
Awesome to hear somebody so young that and although, you know, you do have a few years experience now, so you've learned those lessons, and it's awesome to see that you've obviously got the work ethic to be sticking to it this long already. So that's awesome. So we're down to the last two questions.
Okay.
And so share your best piece of advice with those just starting out in the business. But I want you to kind of think of it as maybe the person who's asking you is somebody that you know and that you like and that you only want to see them succeed, or, you know, you want the best for them. So maybe like a uh-huh. good friend of yours or a relative or something like that. So if somebody like that came up to you, Mason, and said, you know, I'm thinking about starting a lawn care business, what's your best piece of advice for me? What would you say?
Yeah, I think the best piece of advice is to make sure, I think you can, the best piece of advice that I could offer would be two things, is think about the marketing aspect of the business, because that's really how it's going to grow. And especially, you know, if a young person wants to grow their business, there's an advantage over that. Some people want to support young people, and some people want to be able to help, you know, as a mm-hmm. help the young kids out. And, you know, so, excuse me, I think that's a big aspect, is, you know, figure out what marketing strategy works best for you. Like
mm-hmm.
We didn't do any flyers. We didn't do any door hangers or anything when I first started. And I can see how I didn't grow that much without any of that. And
mm-hmm.
now that when I wanted to keep growing and I started doing the flyers and I started doing the door hangers, that's when it really grew. So if you're someone starting out and want to really grow your business into something big, I think figure out the marketing strategy for sure. And then also another thing that I would do that I didn't do is start out with maybe some used equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. You know, any person in the lawn care industry will probably tell you that. And I heard that, but I was kind of fixated on, I want to buy a new mower. I want to do this and do that. And all of my equipment that I got was new.
Yeah.
And you can see how an older piece of equipment or a used piece of equipment can do just as good, and then you spend less money.
Yeah.
But when that piece of equipment starts to go downhill, that's when you can buy new equipment. Yeah. But starting out, buy used equipment, because I never did that, and I kind of wish I did.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great point. Especially on certain types of equipment, right? Like, I'll give an example of, like, the aerators and the power rakes and stuff. I bought both of those used from rental places. And, like, my power rake, for example, I think back in the day, it was probably getting in Canada. Obviously, there's going to be a price difference because of exchange and stuff. So, in Canadian dollars, they were, like, you know, $2,600 to $3,000 to buy a new one at the time. And I picked up a used rental for $350. And I was like, okay, so it needs some new tires and stuff because the bearings are gone. And, you know, got some new wheels and stuff for it. And I've had that thing now for 17 years and have done so much with it because it's just me using it now. You know, the thing, right? So it's like, yeah, it's used. And yeah, it's a bit worn in spots. But, you know, throw a new belt on it, throw some new wheels on it. And the thing will go forever with, you know, a commercial Honda engine on it and stuff. If it's just me using it, it's not like a bunch of people renting it anymore. I'm going to take care of it. And it's, you know, it's some great points there to look at the used market. Can save yourself, especially when you're first starting out. And especially if you don't know or have experience in lawn care and, you know, it may not be something that you're able to do long term, right? It might be something that you're just completely not, you know, in tune to continuing on with. And you don't want to be getting into a mountain of debt with stuff that's you're not going to be able to recoup those costs on. So last question for you, and that is, how can people follow you online?
Definitely, yeah. So we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page. So they're both at Tire Man Turf Care, TYERMAN, and then Turf Care. And that's our biggest thing online. We don't have a website. So that's how they can follow us online.
Awesome. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on to the podcast. I really do appreciate you listening and also for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, well, thank you, Julio. I just love my business, and I've developed a passion for it. So, you know, I like telling my story, and I like being able to share that with, you know, a broader audience.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Mason Tireman from Tireman Turf Care. I'll leave some links in the podcast show notes to where you can follow him online. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.